Sparks, welcome to Nashville on the Rocks.
It's so good to be here.
Thank you for joining our table.
I have to say, in a target-rich environment of lovely people talking about all the music I love, you know, you're lucky to make it, you know, up the Pez dispenser to where we can all reach you.
It's a good sign, by the way, isn't it?
It is.
You know what? And I got to say...
And by the way, hold on. Sorry, Hale. You're leaning into Lisa's shot.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Are you?
Yeah,
I didn't even notice.
Oh,
I didn't even see it.
If you slide back, maybe...
Well,
can we leave that in, man? Because yeah. I might want to do...
Am I blocking or
this is all improv, folks?
Is this
man.
Is it really
brilliant
here?
Stuff?
Welcome. This is wit and it's spontaneous.
If you guys are more comfortable looking at that camera and you look at that, you
know, no, I like looking at my own image in there. Yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So for
I need ego. I need drops of ego, like in a bird feeder. I just like fly up and peck at it. You know, take ego seed and just flutter away.
Oh, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah,
good stuff.
So for the people that listen to our show, so that they might know you because you have
they know me.
Incredible
they
amount
know
of ties.
Him.
No, they know
you're
me.
An actor, a podcaster. Mm-hmm. You know, are you a musician?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Oh, that's adorable. I'm a stand-up comedian. That's what I started.
Okay.
I started at 14. Won the Funniest Teenager Chicago Contest when I was 17, started touring.
Oh, you're from Chicago?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
I'm from Kentucky.
Okay.
But
Chicago sounds cooler.
I moved to Chicago to lose my accent so that I could meet a girl and keep her. And then 16 days after I graduated high school, I packed all my shit in my car and I drove to L.A.
Nice.
And it worked out after a decade. I called the 90s the Sisyphus years. Just roll the rock up the hill and watch it roll back down every night.
Yeah, but decades go by so quick, man. So it must have felt like real quick, right?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was easing into it. And actually, I looking back, I think I was preparing the city for me. You know, they needed. It wasn't I that needed the 10 years to get on my feet. They needed the 10 years to get used to the idea of me being around for a while. And I was right.
Let them warm up to you, man. And then you hit them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
There like a year ago, there was an article about me, and they called me TV veteran Hal Sparks, and I was like, that's awesome.
TV veteran.
Because it beats the shit out of, like, gas-pumping redneck, which was my other career path in Frankfort, in Kentucky.
Holy shit. Well, you know, they got some good bourbon there. And you know what? We talked right before the camera started rolling, mm-hmm. is that there is a big, like, you listen to a lot of people that we really love and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the King's X camp. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
amazing.
Talk yeah. about that, man. Talk about the King's X thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I was introduced to them because I'm a big Kiss fan, and I like bands that start with a K. Kix, can't go wrong. Even Kingdom Come. Gave them a break, I think. Get It On and, you know, What Love Can Be. And, you know, give me a break. It's awesome. Anyway, so I was reading an article, Gene Simmons, probably 1987, and they asked him about, like, who's good? Who's the new coming up artist or whatever? Because he had had his label stuff, and they were talking about that. And he said, there's a band called King's X that's doing something that's pretty damn neat. That was the exact quote. I still remember it to this day. Because I immediately went out and bought both records that were out at the time, Gretchen and Out of the Silent Planet.
Yep.
And I devoured them. A month and a half, 2 months later, they were coming to town with Blue Murder and Billy Squire.
Ah,
weirdest
whoa.
Lineup, makes no sense, but Blue Murder, I was already a huge Blue Murder fan because I love John Sykes. I loved what he did with Whitesnake. And in that... And I couldn't stand Billy Squire. And so it worked out perfectly because I went and
saw Bill.
King's X. Well, I do now. I was a teenager.
Oh,
so I have a rule in music. I don't have to like what you like to love that you love it. So I don't hate on anybody's music choice. If it moves you, that's what it's supposed to do. It's not supposed to move me. I don't listen to music with your ears, and you don't listen with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't diss anybody's tastes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like it, you like it. If I don't like it because of the reasons I have, I will tell you what the reasons are.
Sure.
But they don't have to land with you, and I don't expect them to.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about the Billy Squire thing, like, in 19... Because he came out with that record, Don't Say No, with
mm-hmm.
Stroke and, like,
yeah.
Lonely as a Night. We're talking 87, right?
Yes.
So when he kind of, like, went through that little thing.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
All right.
Dan, well, and then...
Dan understands.
Yeah, yeah. And so, which was lucky, though, for me on a couple of fronts. One is, I really wanted to see King's X live. I was super excited. My buddy Tom and I went down, and we went and saw the show, and it was just mind-blowing. They sounded so good. And then Blue Murder played, and it was just killer. And then we were like, I'm done. And I, instead of watching Billy Squire, I went down and I hit on the Kochek girl at the Vic, and I ended up dating her for 10 months. So that was great.
Wow.
It worked out. Actually, Billy Squire was better for my social life than the other two bands. That said, there was a song on Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, I'll Never Be the Same, that taught me how to approach girls, let myself feel free to approach a girl that I was attracted to.
Interesting.
She stands in the waiting. She looks down to speak. Her eyes seek invitation to follow with the beat. Like, that was like being at a dance, and like it, the play happened in my head when I heard that song. And
that's
she said,
a deep connection right there, man.
She said, I'll never be the same. And I was like, oh, it's either me or some other guy she's going to date. Better me, because he, whoever he is a dick.
Right. He's just a dick.
Yeah.
Either
and
way.
So, awesome. And I will be better for her than they will. Mm-hmm. That's my approach, and it set off a Roman candle in my sex life and my and my relationships. And years later, after Doug would come out and stuff, and I would be on Queer as Folk, and he was a Talk Soup fan, watched me on there. Him watching Queer as Folk, sort of gave him the same confidence at that time, because of what he'd been through, that he'd given me. So there's something extraordinary in this tumultuous life that we all live in, that it's almost like Doug and I kind of gave each other the same gift.
Yes. That's awesome.
That is the coolest story I think I've heard.
Yeah. And I and my buddy Rob Hall, who's no longer with us, he was the creature effects makeup guy on Buffy and Angel. He did all the vampire stuff on there. He passed away a couple years ago. In the current unpleasantness, and he was at a show, Suicidal Tendency show. He knew Robert Trujillo. He used to live in Robert Trujillo's guest house. And Rob taught him bass, and Robert Hall, my buddy, was working for Corman and doing creature effects and living in Robert Trujillo's guest house. So he knew him when he was in. He went to the Suicidal show, and Doug's there, hanging out because he knows those guys. And Rob went over to him and said, "You have to understand something. Hal Sparks loves you guys." Yeah, like, and he goes, "I don't know if you," he goes, and Doug went, "Hal Sparks, the Talk Soup guy?" And they go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Ty and our manager, they record Talk Soup every day so we can watch it on the tour bus."
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just beautiful. And so I've always loved those guys. I would have loved them if they turned out to be dicks when I met them, because the music did what it was supposed to do, and nothing else matters.
Well, you know, and it's funny because...
But they aren't. They're lovely. So.
No, they are.
And I love that story, because it's incredible, because...
The symmetry going on there.
And anybody that I've ever met that, like, maybe doesn't know who King's X is at first, you know, because it they're like a best kept secret, you know. They fucking love them. And so it's a small camp of people that really enjoy that. And
we're making T-shirts that say buy a King's X record. And it's like I have a bunch of different musician friends who are making their own version of that shirt.
That's
so cool. And we're going to sell it on our own merch things just to have out there in the world.
Oh, dude, if you had some of the record that you would recommend to somebody, hey, man, if you want to get a taste of this band, which record would you pick?
The starter for everybody would be Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, and then Dogman. That's what most people will land with. And then you'll immediately go back to the first album, Out of the Silent Planet, and you'll go, oh, God damn, the artistry was there from the start.
Yeah.
And then you'll just buy everything. Don't scroll around. Buy every record.
Just get
record.
All their stuff.
Just get the... it's no skin off your nose. And if you have Apple Music or any of these other things, you hit a little plus, and it does them some good, and it doesn't really cost you much. And the fact that you can do that much good for a band and give them the attention they need for 99 cents or something in your brain is just silly. Do it.
It's amazing. It.
But Gretchen Goes to Nebraska, like... There's songs on the song Pleiades, which is on Gretchen,
right?
Rumor has it, and I've talked to Ty about this, and he's mentioned it in a couple of interviews. But it was the first King's X song, even though it's on the second album. It's the song he brought to them and said, "I think this is what we should sound like."
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
And
that's where their sound came from, the direction.
That like that heavy drop D tuning, and then this kind of space rock aspect of it, and the progressive aspect of it, and the
Beatle-y thing going on with the vocals.
Yeah, the mixed, just the harmonies, everything that made them them That song Pleiades, if you listen to it, you'll go, okay, I understand where this all comes from. And then it'll, and then it starts touching you. Then it starts hitting you. There's a song called She's Gone Away that's on Welcome Home, Mr. Bulbous. And you know, that was one of the, like one of their lesser known albums during a period of it when bands are trying to find their way back to a real record deal and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that song still punches me in the chest every time I hear it.
They got some gems on each of those songs.
Yes.
Like some of those forgotten records that are in between
in
a wall maybe.
Like Ear Candy's perfect too. Ear Candy's top to tail's a perfect record.
Oh, I love it, man.
It's so cool because you guys have so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
you feel left out? I'm sorry. Did we punch my way into this?
Are you kidding me? I love it.
Sweet people, man, which is important.
Yeah, when they say...
So funny.
Anybody who says, don't meet your heroes, has never met my heroes because mine are awesome.
Yeah.
All of them.
Oh, that's so cool.
And like, Jerry's... Jerry is my favorite drummer to watch in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of drummers that have giant kits and show off. I love Scott Rockenfeld and when he was in Queensryche. I love Neil Peart. And I'm a huge, like, I miss Eric Carr desperately. Mm-hmm. It was like his death was, like, as a Kiss fan, was brutal because he was really the thing that brought them back to, you know, the kind of depth of heaviness.
Right.
That God of Thunder and Detroit Rock City had given them, and he comes in and just thundered his way through it. He's just a beautiful guy. But Jerry, with his medium-sized regular kit or whatever, and his slash hit, and his... I mean, they right now on tour, they do one of the songs, and it fades out at the end, like it does on the record. You know, they have a fade-out on the record.
Yeah.
But they did it manually. They didn't just turn a knob
turn
down.
Turn the knob down and get
they
it to go to nothing.
They all play the dynamics till they almost disappear.
Well, they have so much honesty and integrity in their music as artists. Like, even Ty would do that backwards cymbal thing, right? It was in Summerland.
Yeah.
He would go, shh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which, they the last two times I've seen them live, they dedicated the song to me. And it,
aw.
And I went
lucky.
Up to, I went up to Doug afterwards, and I was like, Summer, my girlfriend was with me, and I was like, Summer will tell you, I teared up when you did it. Teared up when you did it.
I was sobbing.
I love it.
That
well,
is so awesome.
I mean, I know that it's a, I'd love to, you know what it is? Because it's one of those things where it's like we have a smaller window of time to work with, but I don't know how often you get to Nashville, but I would love to have you on the show at some time.
Yeah.
And so we've been around for about a year and a half. Part of the shtick is that part of our nuance is that we interview rock musicians and we teach them
like
how to make
shtick.
A cocktail.
I'm okay as a comedian. Shtick, nuance, they both interchangeable as
I
far
love
as I'm
that.
Concerned.
Lots
I mean,
of shtick.
I used to have shticky nuance, but I got this cream and it got rid of it. I'll give you the name of my...
Please do.
Yeah. Let me know. Write that down.
My dermodontist.
And the fact that you have never drank a drop of alcohol, I want to give you this mocktail.
Oh, well, thank you.
So
that's
I'm hoping
very
that
sweet.
You enjoy it. Because normally if you were to come on the show, I would teach you how to make a mocktail or a cocktail.
Sure.
And then I would critique how you make it. And then I would make yours. You would make mine. Everything would be fun.
That's lovely. It's very, yeah.
It's a UK-based liquor called Seed Lip. But.
Seed Lip?
Seed Lip.
Seed Lip.
See, that sounds like, I got to say, UK, obviously, they can work on things. Seed Lip, you know, sounds all right with an English accent. Seed Lip. Seedlip, you throw it all together, you know. We've got a lot of words that have a bunch of letters in them we don't use.
Right.
And then we've got ones with very few letters. We add things to it. Seedlip, you know.
Seedlip.
There's a U and some part of a G laying around, I think, really. But Seedlip, you could say that in England. Over here, Seedlip sounds like something. Oh, here comes old Seedlip. Shut up.
Shut up. Kick his ass, Seedlip.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Well, we are in Nashville, so... Well, Hal, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for my Seed Lip Acme Feed and Seed Mocktail. It's lovely. The last time somebody did this, I ended up in a van with my pants on backwards. But and there was no alcohol.
And you're still sober? I mean, you were sober the whole time?
I don't know. I was out.
Go.
I think it was just busy.
Oh, okay. All right.
He was too busy to notice the attack.
He just said it. He said no alcohol. So I love that. Hal, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And I have family down in Nashville, so I will be down here a bunch and we'll make it happen.
Yeah,
I would love
come
that.
Down for holidays.
I would love that.
Like, right.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourselves and take care of somebody else.